Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you would be on a beautiful, really gorgeous December 21st.
That's right. That man with the nice voice said we were going to be irreverent and entertaining. Which do you want to be? I'll be irreverent, you be entertaining,
okay.
Man.
Go, wait, what does that leave me?
Oh, you're in trouble, man. You better have substance and style, man. You got to carry this show. You heard his voice, ladies and gentlemen. It is, and make no mistake about it, the sexiest man in Pasadena. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the girls are going crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Slow them down, my goodness.
James Snyder is who we're talking about, folks. Yeah, starring in Beauty and the Beast and
That's
Christmas
right.
Rose for
That's
the Lithgow right. Family production out in Pasadena, which you, Andrew, went to see last
Enjoyed
night with your family.
It. Absolutely. A good crowd there. Seemed like the audience had a blast. I told James he may be the sexiest man in Pasadena, but he's in Sherman Oaks now.
Oh,
baby.
No. That's so right. He's got two people to contend
the
with there for the meter of
it was
sexiness.
Like, now, James has a hard job in that show, too, because not only does he have to have all these teenage girls wooing over him, but he has to get every single one of those 40, 50-year-old moms in that audience to love him, too. So
he probably doesn't have any problem with
that. You know, it's strange. It was ridiculously easy for him. Yeah, it was a little bit too easy for him. So, but this is a fun show, and obviously it's going to be the center of what we're talking about here today because we have two guests from that
show.
Yes, we
do.
That's right. So,
and we will talk to our second guest in just a little bit. But, Andrew, well, I haven't seen you for a week.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's been going on with you. And you were in your show. You were in A Christmas Carol.
Did you miss me at all?
I did.
Because, I mean, a whole week not seeing each other.
I did miss you. Yes, I did. And, you know, we usually text when we're apart, but...
This week it was low communicado, man.
It was.
Running back and forth, but you were kind enough to help me get to go see this show last night, which was such a pleasure. I took the whole family out. Now, James, I know you have kids, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the whole family out is... an epic adventure. It's kind of like Starship Voyager. You know, you got to load everybody up.
You drove from your home in Malibu to Pasadena.
Right.
So
wow.
That in its sense.
Yeah. Little boy in a suit jacket, little girl in a pretty dress,
and adorable.
My beautiful wife was in her dress. It was interesting to feel like as we were in traffic, because normally when I'm going to review a show, and you know, I've got my notebooks, and I go, this was much more like, okay, did we get enough food to eat? Does anybody have to go to the bathroom? It was a very different aura. But you get to Pasadena, and the Civic Auditorium where it's at there is such a great space.
Yes,
I've never been in there.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Really a nice
place. That's where they do the Emmys usually, and don't they? I think so.
Really, in the Pasadena Auditorium?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Emmy Awards.
Yeah,
pretty
there,
cool.
There hasn't been a production there in, I think, 8 years, though, as far as... It used to be a roadhouse.
Right.
Shows used to come from Broadway.
One of the
there.
Biggest.
Yeah. And it's got that great feel. It feels a lot like the Pantages or any of the sort of the bigger auditoriums I've had the pleasure of
I don't
of
know what the seating is there. Do you know how many seats it has?
I mean, above.
1,200?
No.
There's a balcony, too.
There's a balcony.
I didn't go upstairs on the balcony.
Upwards of 2,500.
Wow. It was beautiful, though. Really gorgeous.
Yeah.
And nice people and full facilities. You could tell that shows used to come in there. They had everything you needed to really do a show up right. And it was interesting, too, because this house was filled with young people, some of whom were probably seeing a show for the first time, a live theater production for the first time. And that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to see young people exposed
to
theater for the first
time. You know, we are great supporters of getting away from your house and your TV and your remote and getting out and supporting the arts and introducing our youth to the arts in some sort of, you know, respectable, fashionable, kind of way, which
that's
exactly,
right.
you know, of
and
course.
I think that's one of the goals of the Lithgow family. Also,
yes, absolutely
you know, being an established British family, trying to bring British pantomime here, which is its own art form, that's a blast, and everyone in England goes to, I guess,
all over the place.
London goes to the Panto, and every theater that possibly can fits some sort of Panto show in there, which is usually just a familiar story with a little Christmas twist.
That's
and
right.
Someone in drag, and, which is always hilarious. Not always hilarious.
It can be. It has potential to be hilarious. Hopefully it's hilarious. If not, you've wasted a lot of time in makeup. So,
Well,
you guys, of course, have that as well. And so many fun puns that keep the adults involved and the kids involved. And generally speaking, this is a classic story. This is Beauty and the Beast we're talking about here. But I believe that the Lithgow family also has other shows going on at this time.
Yeah, they have a show at the Laguna Playhouse right now, which is Aladdin. Jason Graw's in that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the funniest people I've ever worked with.
Next to Michael and me.
Other than. of that.
Keep in mind, we're a reverend entertainer.
Jason has
so.
Headlined my club several times during the past few years.
And has he been on the show? He wasn't when I was here,
yes,
but when Paul was
he
here,
he has been
course.
On
yeah, yeah, yeah.
a couple times, yeah.
I think I heard that one. Hey, we should give this man who has already been so entertaining a proper intro, yeah?
We should, but do you think we should thank our sponsors?
Do you want to pay some bills?
I think so.
You know, you are so responsible. You probably don't miss your
rent. Like it.
You've probably never been homeless. Unbelievable. All right, let's thank some sponsors here.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
Indeed we are. So we encourage you folks to visit Breakdown Services and Performing Arts Live to find out more about all of the happenings in Southern California.
That's right. Two great resources, to be sure. And speaking of great things, Michael, before we dig into our first guest, did you see any interesting shows this week?
You know, I did not. I'm getting ready to handle the publicity and public relations for Million Dollar Quartet for 3D Theatricals.
Wow.
So we're opening right in February, so my job is starting now on, you know, writing press releases and so forth, and that's where my head's been. But I am going to not be in town for Christmas Day. I will be on Christmas Eve, but not Christmas Day. So that's been a big decision because I have two kids who are beagles. One is 5 and one is 8.
Mm-hmm.
And they are...
Great ages for beagles.
Adopted.
Run your ragged at
adopted,
that age.
And they are...
adorable is the answer. Okay, I'm seeing Michael's showing me a picture on his phone.
As the cell phone is passed around with cuteness abounding.
But I have the opportunity to see some friends, a lovely, lovely family, who I don't get a chance to see more than once every few years. And they live in San Diego, but now they've kind of spread out. And part of the family has a beautiful home on the ocean in Oxnard.
Oh, how great. Ooh.
So I'm not driving because I don't want to put myself through that.
Right.
I'm taking the train.
Wonderful.
The Amtrak. Just going straight up.
Support of the Amtrak.
It's an hour trip to...
Park your car and go.
Yeah. Well, no, they're coming. They're sending a car or picking it up,
up
or doing something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
We just got big time, dude.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Real deal.
I'll only be there like 3 or 4 hours for dinner and see them. And then I come back and I've got somebody, visiting the dogs.
That's great.
While I'm gone. And then we'll have our Christmas.
I'm sure the dogs will have cleaned everything up and made you a nice dinner as well, right? Well,
they
better. That sounds
they
nice.
Know what's good for them.
That sounds awfully nice. Yeah, Christmas in L.A. is a little bit of a strange thing, so I love that you're doing that. Well, now, obviously, we are talking about Beauty and the Beast, A Christmas Rose, which is going on in Pasadena at the Civic right now. It's a Lithgow family panto, and these have been
very
a tradition.
Very original panto.
Absolutely.
Using very contemporary music, pop music, and very relatable in that sense. And you know this one over here in the studio, Mr. James Snyder, is a good dancer.
Saw that last.
Yeah, he puts it out
there. Who
knew?
Effortless.
Well, shall we talk to him and give him his full intro?
We should.
Let's
absolutely. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a veteran of stage and screen. Some of his film roles include his role in She's the Man, Dave in Pretty Persuasion, and Jeremy in The Gingerbread Man, among many others. Television credits include Gilmore Girls, Without a Trace, Cold Case, CSI, and Blue Bloods.
That's right. On the stage, he has appeared as Drew in the Los Angeles and Las Vegas productions of Rock of Ages. He originated the role of Wade Crybaby Walker in Crybaby at the La Jolla Playhouse, and then transferred with the cast to make his Broadway debut the following year. He also played the role of Josh in If Then with the National Theater and on Broadway, with the National Theater on Broadway and the National Tour. He then appeared as Nate in Transit, also on Broadway.
He's with us today to tell us more about his role as Gus in the Lithgow Family Pantos production of Beauty and the Beast, A Christmas Rose. Let's give it up for Mr. James Snyder.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There's a wonderful studio audience here.
And the girls go, well, you got that last night every time a little Jared Gertner would say your name, man. He got people screaming for you. Pretty impressive.
It's the sexiest man I passed. At one time, I had to kind of do it myself.
Yeah, it's no fun if there's nobody listening to the prompt out there and you don't get anything after that. That ruins the show.
Yeah, so. That's when I just go home.
We should bring him up. Your counterpart in crime last night was Jared Gertner, who's a friend of the show and a great, great talent as well. And boy, you guys were fun to watch together. What's it like working with him?
It's a blast. You know, actually, the first time I saw Book of Mormon, Jared was playing, had just gone in for Josh Gad. He was part of the original Broadway cast. And so I actually didn't see Josh do the role. I saw Andrew and Jared do it. And then we have a ton of mutual friends in comedy. Went to NYU, and I went to USC here in town. But we just had all these circles sort of all converged when we happened to start working on Beauty and the Beast, actually.
How cool.
A little version for Disney Cruise Lines. And so
in
that's
which
sort of
you played?
I played Gaston,
right?
Actually, yeah. And then we worked again on Beauty and the Beast in Sacramento at the Sacramento Music Circus, but I played Beast that time.
Switching it up.
So, which meant I literally would say hi to him before the show, and then at the end of the show, as we walked back to our dressing room, I would say hi to him again. There was sort of no overlap there.
He's such a charming person in real life, and his characterizations of everything that he does are usually pretty charming. The one thing I think that you and I both saw that he did was I Only Have Eyes for You, which was directed by Kay Cole here in Los Angeles.
Down at the Montauban.
World premiere.
Right. Yeah.
The lyrics and music of Al Durbin.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at one of our great theaters, that the Ricardo Montalban Theater.
Yeah.
And what a cast. Renee Marino. Do you know Renee from New York?
She was good.
And so many other great
Jersey
people.
Jersey Boys, of course, a lot of great things.
Yeah.
It was interesting, too, to watch Jared last night, because you two, both of you, obviously such accomplished stage performers, but there's such a unique atmosphere in a situation like this, because children are there for the first time, and they don't know what to laugh at. Mm-hmm. And I think you both made everybody feel so welcome and so open, so that when the ingenue comes on stage, and of course when the Beast comes on stage, everybody's very open to what's going to happen. But you watch Jared, and you watch people go ahead and watch him and see kind of the way he moves about the stage, and you like him before he even opens his mouth. And then he sings, and you go, oh my goodness, that boy's got some chops. Mm-hmm. And then with him and James singing together, man, that was a lot of fun. And I know that my little boy, who doesn't get to see a whole lot of theater, because there's not much for seven-year-olds to sit through out there, right, had such a blast watching two guys up there having fun and really nailing their parts.
Well, so. We both have kids, too.
It's a good point, too.
I think he has a 3-year-old, and I have a 2.5-year-old and an almost 5-year-old. So
wow.
I think for us, that default, we're just going back to the, I mean, it's what I do in the living room every morning.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm trying to entertain my kids.
It's not like, a rescue bots, man. There's not a whole lot in between. You got to distract those kids.
Let me ask a question, just because I think it might interest the audience. Because this is a different interpretation of Beauty and the Beast, The Christmas Rose, and the names are changed with the exception of Belle, does the audience get, is there any confusion there? Did you notice, Andrew?
No. I think the story was seamless as far as understanding the characters. And of course, with the movie just coming out, I think people have really strange expectations. That's got to be strange to battle, because this is nothing like the movie. It's a very different feel. You've got covers in there, and you got the same story, but it's a much more upbeat, much more fun, much more passionate kind of project. So when you walk in, you immediately get that this is geared toward kids having a good time at the theater. And I think that came through very clearly in the stories. Very much intact.
Are you able to be spontaneous if you so choose?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, we got to get out of there because you got to remember there's a bunch of kids. The
show
that
could easily be 4 hours.
Yeah, and it's 2 hours. I mean, you're out of there in 2 hours. And so we just both realized the longer we have some lotsy, the angrier the parents get that they have to. No, both my kids saw it and were rapt the entire time. So, and that's a very busy 2.5-year-old and a busy 5-year-old.
That is young to sit through the theater.
She really. I mean, the fact that her daddy was on stage might have helped.
Doesn't hurt.
But I think once everyone gets it, everyone gets on the same page really quickly. That we know this story, but it's being told, just in a completely different way that actually that Americans aren't used to, but it's so satisfying because you got shtick and you got love and you got all that wonderful stuff.
No doubt about it. I'm reminded of the first time my kids saw me on stage. My daughter was 2 and a half, mm-hmm. and I was playing Kent in King Lear in a touring production. And at the end, you know, they offer Kent the crown. Yeah. And my daughter stands up from the back of the 1,500 people outside on Summerstock stage, and she goes, "Daddy, you won! Good job!" And everybody turns around to look at my kid. I'm like, "You little ham, man, just stole my moment." Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's good to see kids watching their parents, but it's also good to see kids loving theater. It's an important thing to be able to do. So,
how much fun do you actually have every night? And does it go the same way every night? It can't. I mean, that's the beauty of theater. But, I mean, especially something like this.
It's got to be. Well, there's a point where I interact with the audience and I pick a woman from the audience who then all of a sudden I'm like, "Hey, you're part of the show now." And
you go down into the audience?
I do, yeah. And I shamelessly hit on
You better be careful. You may not get out once or twice.
Yeah. Well, what was rough, the first time we did it, it was only men in that section. I was like, you. And
young man with a beard. There we are.
No, not that.
Changes Gus considerably by the end of the show.
So I have to make sure I find a woman. And we had... who had Marsha the other night. So, you know, you do
Marjorie.
A few...
It was Marjorie.
Well, Margie was last night.
Oh, and who was before?
Marsha was the night before, so I know. But you're on the end names. Did some Marsha jokes and, you know, Margie. I don't know. It's whatever happens. Usually Jared and I are like, "Well, can we do a bit on this? Well, what do you think?" And I'm always running stuff by him because he's funnier than me. And so, and then, you know, we're having fun. Like, it's a good time.
Good
it's
stuff.
Not, yeah, it's... We found our beats and we found our pacing, and Sheldon Apps, our amazing director,
yes,
has done a
indeed.
Good job of keeping everyone on task. He's a very, you know, he's not like, he doesn't crack the whip, but he reminds us gently to make sure that we keep our pacing up and remove the pauses.
Right.
And so, yeah. So it's a ride, and we want to take people on this roller coaster. So, and no one really enjoys a slow roller coaster. So,
can you tell me briefly about the thesis of why this show went up? It's so different. And tell people a little bit about how it's different from the other production, and that your goals are obviously to include the audience rather than just to display a proscenium show for them, right? You're giving them a little more of fourth wall interaction and that sort of thing. Where does that come from, and how did you... how did you work through that in rehearsal process?
I think we made grand assumptions on the audience's reactions, but we encourage them. We say, you know, Harrison White's character, Dame Derriere, mm-hmm. comes down and says, "Hello," you know, immediately is like, "What? That's not good enough. You guys can do better than that. Louder." You know, and then immediately Jared's character comes out and says, "What? I can't," you know, everyone's always like, what are you, let's ask the audience questions. And Belle even at one point is like, "Should I go into the castle?"
Right.
And
everybody,
you know, and that way the kids get engaged and they're encouraged to boo and to clap. And I think I was like, oh, they're going to boo in this. I didn't realize they were going to boo in a couple parts. So it was,
that was
also
just
learning
me, dude.
About,
I'm so sorry. That was, I boo all the time.
It's
I can't.
Yeah, it's okay. So he loves the arts, but boos the actors.
That's right. That is boo parts that I'm not. I'm like, man, I want to be that part. It was interesting, too, because I think it's important for parents to know. Sometimes we're scared off by the theater, right? And I know that my kids have had it drilled into them how you behave at the theater. Kids who haven't been to the theater, this is a great show for them to start out with, because the rules, although obviously good decorum is important, it's much more family friendly to be there and to be allowed to talk back occasionally and to mm-hmm. boo and to clap and to cheer.
Absolutely.
And that was a cool thing to see, because there was a lot of kids there who, you know, probably had never been to a show before.
Well, it starts the second you see the theater. There's mm-hmm. lights outside with snowflakes and big inflatable snowmen and Santa Claus, and then you go into the lobby and you can have your daughter's hair done, or son, I guess, but
or mine, like,
or yours. You look gorgeous.
I got
you this tiara. Actually.
I knew it. I'd be so beautiful in that plastic tiara.
Yeah. And there's drawing activities, and my son made a beast mask.
Very cool.
Really, like, they get it. They just get it. And you buy little swords, and it's all about just really engaging the kids, so that really their first time at the theater, or one of the first times, is just so filled with joy and creativity and whatever you can get out of the experience, that really makes them want to come back every year and make this a tradition.
Exactly.
Their goal is to make this a tradition.
And how many years now?
I believe it is
406.
Right before Christopher Columbus came over is when this started.
Six, I believe,
six
in Pasadena.
Wow. My goodness.
Is that right, Peter?
Amazing.
Yes, right. Six. Okay.
We're getting the nod from the corner. That's the
Peter,
official.
That's the official public
right.
relations
fact
man.
Check. Fact
yes,
check.
Yes, indeed.
Well, so go ahead.
We are going to learn. Continue talking to James, but our other guest, who
it's
is
that time.
It is that time.
Oh,
yeah, we've been kind of saving her.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, so obviously this is somebody we want to bring in now, but this should be known. She's sitting next to the sexiest man in Pasadena.
Well,
and holding her own with no problem.
Well, I was going to say because she may be the sexiest
no
woman
doubt.
In Pasadena.
No,
it certainly isn't Sherman Oaks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will introduce her now, Michael. Let's
yes, indeed.
That.
Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is an actress, a model, and a singer. She was a series regular on TLC's Hip Hop Harry and made appearances on Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader and America's Next Producer.
She guest starred in the Disney XD series Kickin' It and then starred in the Disney Channel original movie How to Build a Better Boy in the role of Mae Hartley, as well as lending her voice to the single Something Real for the film's soundtrack. She is best known for her role as Bree Davenport in the Disney XD series Lab Rats and its spinoff Lab Rats Elite Force.
And she is here today to tell us about her role as Belle in the Lithgow Family Pantos production of Beauty and the Beast, of course, which is our show of the day, A Christmas Rose. Please welcome the beautiful and very talented young performer, Kelly Berglund.
Oh,
hi.
So nice.
Kelly, how are you?
I'm good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a part you get to play. Is it a dream to play Belle? And have you ever done that before? Have you ever played Belle in any other productions?
I can't say that I have. And
you
I
could say it. Nobody's going to know. We lie on the radio all the time.
No, I've said this multiple times since joining and really just taking the time to think about it. It's such a surreal thing because there is a lot of hype behind Belle and Beauty and the Beast and that whole story right now with the film coming out.
Right.
So I think it made people sort of fall in love with that story all over again, even though it's such a classic. So to be able to play Belle, which is, you know, it's Belle. Like, that's
huge.
That's crazy.
Such an iconic role.
It's,
that's right.
It's a little intimidating at first. You're like, okay, like, I gotta live up to Belle. But it's been nothing but exciting, and to embody her and to become her has been quite the experience.
Cool.
A little poll between the animated Disney version and the real life version of Beauty and the Beast. Did you have a preference? Did you go to those places and try to get some inspiration?
I did. I mean, I watched the animated one ever since I was just a little
sure.
kid.
It's ingrained in every little girl now.
I think part of me is always going to love that one.
Yeah.
My heart's always going to be there, but there was something about the live action that I think they did really well. It wasn't cheesy to me. I thought it was really well done, so I took aspects from that too because that's a real person.
I thought they
her.
Completely nailed
so
it. Disney on that.
I took inspiration from both. Like in my dressing room, I have like pictures of Belle printed out like all over my mirror. So like when I'm doing my makeup or like practicing my lines, I'm like, all right, you are her. Like let's get some inspiration.
Such the actor.
That's right. That's right. Well, and that's such a fun role because you are playing every little girl's favorite. No
man,
no,
oh man,
corner.
Are you?
That's right.
Yes,
no
indeed.
Doubt about it. And you did such a beautiful job last night. What was
Thank
this production
you.
Like in compared? You've obviously done so much film work. What
I
was
have.
It? Is this your first professional musical?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
my goodness.
I'm sort of proud to say that. Sort of like, you know, I'm the newbie here. But yeah, my whole life, you know, my path has really taken me down the film and television route. So that's, I could tell you anything and everything about that. So when I stepped into this role, it was really exciting.
Yeah.
Like I said, a little bit intimidating. But it's been so fun. And I grew up as a dancer my entire life. I've sang my whole life, pretty much, not professionally. And then obviously acting is something I've been doing for so long.
Right.
So to put them all together, is really exciting. I've had experience on a stage with dancing, and I was a competitive dancer for so many years. So I know the adrenaline sort of, you know, waiting backstage and like, okay, I'm gonna go on soon. But then there's the
one
whole
one take
like,
only.
Yeah, now we have to remember a bunch of lines and get it perfectly and sing the notes really well. So there's other elements that are in there that are very new to me, but I've learned to really have fun with them.
Well, you've got a great cast that surrounds you, obviously. Yes. James next to
you. Oh, no. What do you mean?
Well, I know, right? I know it's all about Belle, but we got to mention these other people, too. So, obviously, you know, Jared Gertner, who's a good friend of the show and who we love, and James, who does such a wonderful job. Jonah Platt is in
Jonah,
the show as well.
Yes, Jonah was here recently, actually.
Harrison White, who plays the dual roles of Coco Chanel and Dame Derriere, which is very, very funny and brilliantly well done. So many talented people. What's it like to work with such an accomplished stage cast?
I think it's been nothing but amazing, one, just to be able to work with these people. It's mm-hmm. it's really quite the honor. Love you, James. no, but it's, you know, going into it, you never know, like, okay, like, you know, I'm the new one here. Hopefully everyone's nice and can kind of help me learn. And I can truly say genuinely, like, not just for radio, like, everyone has been nothing but loving, and they've welcomed me with open arms and have taught me new things every day just to help me. And to be with such pros is, it's just, I couldn't ask for anything.
That's
better.
A great thing.
Well, but I must say on your behalf that, and it, when I interviewed you for television, for Broadway mm-hmm. World TV, when we were, you hadn't opened yet, you were in rehearsal, and we got to see that great rehearsal. But you were very challenged in the Disney series, in the Lab Rat series, mm-hmm. because you were bionic. And you did some amazing stunts, if indeed you were doing all of them, I don't know, but you sure certainly pulled off the larger percentage if you didn't.
I actually did a lot of them. That's where the dance background sort of helped.
That's what I was going to say. So that you had going for you, and it made that role very special, because it's, you don't see a woman you know, do something like that on television as well as she did. Mm-hmm. And your two co-stars.
Yeah, it was on that series, I had learned so much. Like, I learned so much about martial arts and stunt choreography and, you know, flying on wires and doing backflips in the air. They're like, okay, we're not going to have a stunt double today. You're going to do it.
Surprise, surprise. Like,
okay.
Have fun.
Really?
But I pulled it off. So
that's something good to put on the resume, too. When they know you can do that, it opens up a lot of doors.
Don't think it's weird that I've seen that show. Every episode, I have seen that show.
I don't think anybody who listens to State of the Arts thinks it's weird that you've seen that show. I think it's on your DVR, man.
The reason is this. It's very simple. When I moved into the home that I live in now, the cable people came out to put in the cable in all the rooms in the master bedroom. And I was so tired from that day, just because it was a move-in day. It was the last, and I got into bed and I turned the TV on, which is something that I do every night, very low, set it for a timer, and kind of fall asleep. And it was set on the Disney Channel, and I had never until that day seen any of the Disney Channel product.
Really?
Wow. Amazing.
Wow.
I got into it because I had friends who were writing for Disney, and they were coming from other great television series and being hired by Disney. That's how I was introduced to you.
That's
amazing.
So funny.
And every
did
other
you
day,
like it?
I loved it, yeah. I mean,
he runs the fan page
now.
Yeah,
he's got
so
the t-shirt on right now.
The target demographic, but I'm happy you like it.
Yes, no. Yeah, not quite the right age group.
Excuse me. All of the
they do a good job. No
they
doubt
do all of those series, and they you know what is lovely about Disney is they make stars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like the old days when all the studios used to make stars.
That's right.
And my goodness, what they they give the big awards, the Radio Disney Awards.
Yeah,
and
that's
all.
A new thing. That
that's
came
a huge
out, like,
no doubt.
Ago.
No
doubt.
Selena Gomez, all of these young people who have crawled into major careers. It's amazing.
That's right.
And I have no doubt this is happening for you because of the work that you've done, and you're so good in everything you do.
Oh,
I saw you in the other one, the How to Build a Better Board.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Very
I
nice.
I was glued to the set.
In that movie.
Very nice.
It's like, oh, no, don't watch the things from 5 years ago. But, no,
well,
I'm
we
happy
should
you
tell people
it.
A little bit about how to see this amazing show,
Absolutely.
Beauty and the Beast, The Christmas Rose. And obviously this is playing, it's a Lithgow family panto, and that essentially just means that it's in the style of the English
pantos. And
for
people who don't know Lithgow, we should say that is the Nigel Lithgow family.
Of course.
And you would know Mr. Lithgow from American Idol as one of the executive producers, and also So You Think You Can Dance, and so many other things
that
he does. He's such a kind, classy man.
And this show was written by Chris.
Yes,
so
by
Chris Lithgow.
Chris Lithgow, mm-hmm. and Becky, his daughter, is the producer. And what a lovely, lovely girl she is. I haven't all of their family I've met, and they're just lovely people. So,
and this show with all the stars we've talked about and the great choreography by Mandy Moore.
I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Top notch, really, really great stuff.
And she's so sweet. And Michael Orland.
Yes.
From American Idol.
Of course.
He's the musical director here and the associate musical director on Idol.
And it's started on December 13th, runs all the way till Christmas Eve, right? December 24th, which
and
I'm sure you have great audiences.
Let's not forget Sheldon Epps, the
of
great
course,
Sheldon
the
Epps
director.
Director. Finally back in Pasadena directing a show because he was married to the Pasadena Playhouse for
many
years as their artistic director.
That's right. And this show has a performance tonight. You guys are headed out of here and going straight to the show, yeah?
Sure.
Performance tonight and then tomorrow night
as well. Are you sure?
What time is it?
Make a decision after how much you guys beat me
up.
I've
got to start warming up right now.
So tonight, tomorrow night, and then Saturday and Sunday as well. There's two performances on Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. matinee on both those days and 5 p.m. evening shows. So.
Now, we should mention, because of the Sunday performances at 1 and 5 p.m., that anyone who attends that performance, you will see a young man by the name of Thomas Hobson, who is from Nick Jr. on TV. And a lovely, lovely actor, and he has he will be assuming the role of the Beast.
Wow, and jump right in, man.
Jonah Platt, who is currently playing, will be out on that particular day.
Okay.
So
if you've seen it once, go back and see another one, too.
Absolutely.
Different performance. And tickets are as low as $28, which is a great deal, or you can pay $115, which at times may shock some people, but that comes, I believe, those are the golden ticket prices.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Which means your child gets to get up stage and talk to Jared Gertner, which I wanted to pay, and go up and mess around with him a little bit because it's so much fun.
I think tonight I'm sneaking on, and I'm going to just try and pretend to be a little kid and do like a bit. So if you're listening now and coming to the show, I spoiled it for you.
What does that mean? They get up on the show during the show?
At the very end of the show.
Before the finale.
Yeah, right before the finale.
Oh, okay.
And you don't care as much because you're not getting married during that finale.
No,
you can go out there and mess with him a little bit. That's right.
People are frantically changing clothes.
But they bring all the kids up. I think it was last night, 10 or 12 kids.
Yeah,
and then he talks to them,
and then they all sing a song together. And
if you don't want to do that, obviously $28 is a great
price. You get a little gift bag.
Those are I think they call it the golden ticket group or the VIP ticket. So
golden
you can look
ticket,
for that.
Yeah.
But obviously $28 to see the show is a great deal. You take the whole family out for that. Great places to eat around there. Easiest way to get tickets is to just go online to beautyandthebeastpanto.com. Beautyandthebeastpanto.com.
Or they can call 800-982-2787. And get tickets over via telephone, or certainly visit the Pasadena Civic Auditorium box office. And the Civic Auditorium, by the way, beautiful building, as we've talked about, in beautiful Pasadena.
That's
300
right.
East Green Street, easy to get to. And go early and experience the Winter Wonderland, which is a pre-show celebration featuring crafts and games and Santa Claus.
Lots of fun.
Select days, photo opportunities, and more. So it starts 1 hour before curtain.
James, I just started watching Blue Bloods. Where do I expect to see you? Do you remember your episode
The last
number?
Episode of season one.
Okay.
And they were wrapping up a larger storyline. I won't spoil it. So the big confession scene is just a paragraph that Will Estes says.
It's an interesting series to watch. I enjoyed the series, and it's got a different point of view of New York City, which I enjoy as well. And of course, Tom Selleck's great.
Oh, yeah.
Donnie Wahlberg.
Kelly, do you think that you will actively pursue now going out for musical theater?
You know, I've been asked that question.
He wants to know if you've been converted.
I can truly say this is something that I think I could see myself doing.
Yeah.
Further.
Yes.
All right, let's start writing the show.
I'm going to keep doing those vocal lessons. I'm
going to
warm up every day.
Well, you sounded great last night. There's no doubt about it. Kelly, where can people find out more about you?
More about me? Well, I'm all over the social media stuff.
You also have a website.
Do I? Yes. I do.
Wait a minute.
You better. It's where I pulled half your bio, girl. So.
You know what's really interesting is that, obviously, IMDb and Twitter and Instagram and all that. But I have this fan that runs a fan page for me that's so legit where they post, the most updated photos.
They did.
I didn't even know these
Do you have the address
existed.
For that?
I want to say it's, I don't know the exact address for it.
It's a .net, and you just put in your name.
Google Kelly Berglund.
It's probably
Kelly
first thing
with
that
I.
will pop
That's
up,
right.
but it's actually
yeah.
a great site.
K-E-L-L-I.
Yes, Kelly with an I.
Unless James is doing your publicity.
Berglund.
He's like, now hold on.
The E-R-G. But it's actually a great site to find out a bunch of info, but, you know.
She goes there all the time. It's like, oh, I didn't know
that. I'm like, wow, when did I take these photos?
I could have sworn I did better than that in elementary school. Tell me a little bit about what your Instagram hashtag is. Where can people find you there?
I'm very, very active on Instagram. My username is just my name, Kelly Berglund.
Yeah,
Kelly,
Kelly
with
an
I, don't forget.
Two L's, one I.
Two L's, one I, B-E-R-G-L-U-N-D.
Cool.
Same for Twitter, Facebook. I'm there too. I'm facebook.com/thekellyberglund.
Cool. Wow. Mm.
James, talk to me about what people can find out about what
yes,
you're doing.
Yes, he's got a lovely yeah. website too.
At the James Snyder is my Twitter.
Not
and
a
Instagram.
James Snyder,
the
James,
James Snyder.
Snyder,
not to be
better
confused
rough.
With
so New York.
Other. Well,
Gus is what
I don't
is.
Even. There's, I don't know whether to say it, but there's an erectile dysfunction doctor with the name of James Snyder that I was
oh,
like, oh, let's
our hits
let's
on our website just clear
this up.
Yeah. So God bless that guy. But
he's thanking you now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you guys need anything,
you gotta
talk
get 10%
to that James
off
Snyder
of that. That's
if you
right.
want to have a good time. JamesSnyder.com is a very mediocre website that I'm working on. Actually, thejamesSnyder.com is way better, and that's a cool fan of, slash friend who
cool.
does that one.
Right. You also have a CD that you made, an album.
Yeah, well,
how
I have a rock.
People get that?
I have a rock album that you can get on iTunes. It's called L.A. Curse.
I want to download.
Yeah, it's hip. It's yeah. hip. Yeah. It's, I had a record deal once upon a time with Lionsgate Records.
I tried to find it, and we're going to play a track today, but I couldn't.
Oh, nice. Oh, you couldn't find it on iTunes?
I didn't go to iTunes. I went to the site, and then I got delayed. And
which site? What, my website?
The site where it talks about you making the album. I think it's in your bio.
Oh, so I have a single coming out that I was just about to release.
Yes.
And then realized no one's home for the holidays and said, maybe we'll revisit this. So I went to East West Studios, which is a famous studio here in Hollywood, and recorded a few original tunes. And those will be released in the new year.
Fantastic.
And then I'm also working with the Hammerstein family.
That's a new project for you, right?
With on a new project yeah. to do an album with them to raise money for a museum at Oscar Hammerstein's house
wow.
in Doylestown on the ranch.
Wow.
And so it's an Airbnb that you can actually
really?
Go sleep in the room in his study and be at the desk where he wrote you know, Edelweiss or there's a bright golden haze on them.
Cow.
You can see the meadow where the bright golden haze was.
That is beautiful.
So those are sort of the projects I have coming up.
Well, we have a special kind of ending for every State of the Arts. And Kelly, this will be a little surprise to you.
Uh-oh.
James actually might remember doing it the last time he was here when he was starring at Pantages and If Then. But it is called...
And now, Embarrassing Moments.
Okay.
What is this?
Kelly
oh,
tried
no.
to run.
Embarrassing moments.
Oh, no. What is this?
We're asking, we always ask our guests to recall something that was embarrassing in their career at any point in time on stage, on TV,
oh.
in movies, but something that made you so, you know, like, oh, my God, how did this happen? And you consider for a moment you might want to leave the business or something. It could be anything. It can be funny, it can be serious, it can be anything you like. I
wow.
hope I explained that well.
Very well.
I think that's good.
I can recall some embarrassing moments. Some of them, oh gosh. Luckily, a lot of them happened on the set of Lab Rats, where it's not live, and it was just in front of an entire crew. I've fallen on my face so many times, completely just like run into another cast member in the middle of a scene. We both like went down. But an embarrassing, I don't know if I'd categorize it as embarrassing, but I'll never forget this audition that I went into when I was like maybe, I don't know, 13 or 14. I think it was for the movie Marmaduke. Remember, like, the big dog?
Oh, sold.
So I was, like, really excited. It was going to be a big movie. My mom was there with me. And, you know, at the time, I'm not wearing a ton of makeup. But just for the audition to enhance whatever, I maybe put on a little mascara and, like, a little color on my lips. So I walk in the room and... the casting director, I feel so bad if he's listening to this, but he had a vibe right from the start that was really scary, and scary in the sense that, like, I felt like he was going to yell at me or something.
Uh-oh.
So immediately, he doesn't say anything to me. The first thing he says when I walk in the room is, take off your lipstick now, and hands me a tissue.
Oh,
I was like,
I held my breath there for a second. Oh, those first two words.
No.
That could have gone the other way real quick.
No. Scary in a different sense. But again, not so much embarrassing, but just like, what is going on? I was so scared. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So he handed me a tissue, like, take off your lipstick now. I was like, okay.
Jeez.
So
kind of
did
aggressive.
That. Told me to put down my sides for the audition, and he tested me. He quizzed me, like, very intensely on the scene. Like, where does this take place? Who are you talking to? Where are you standing outside of? What time of day is it? I knew all the answers because I came prepared. I knew my lines and everything. But it was just so, like, scary to the point where I walked out and I, like, almost started crying. I called my manager. I was like, oh, he was so mean to me. Like, I get where he was going with it.
But that is strange, right? Yeah.
Bottom line is, did you get the job?
No.
You did not?
But we do have your audition tape.
Oh, no.
In fact, we brought that casting director in, ladies and gentlemen.
No, so I don't know. Embarrassing might not be the right word, but just a really weird experience I had that was just jarring.
Well, we can put him on the spot and you can say his name.
Oh, no.
He will forever be shamed.
Careful, you'll walk into his office tomorrow. You know that's going to happen,
exactly.
So be careful.
All right, James Snyder.
All right. So you'd mentioned one of my credits earlier. This is a Christmas one. You said Gingerbread Man as one of my film credits. The film is actually called Ginger Dead Man.
No.
Really? Yes.
Shame on you, Drew.
It is directed by the amazing Charlie Band, who's known Moonlight Pictures.
Cool.
And they're these, like, not even a B horror movie. It's like a C-minus horror movie that no one and everyone should see. And so I'm in the first little section in which, and my scene partner, Gary Busey.
Nice.
Sweet.
Yeah. So, but Gary Busey didn't say any of the lines that went along that were in the script, and then also decided to have me do essentially a Meisner exercise while on film. And so what stayed in the movie, which is why it's sort of, it's embarrassing, non-union job, my very first thing, and immortalized forever, the Ginger Dead Man.
Wow.
Yeah, in which you can watch Gary Busey kill me with a pocket knife.
Oh.
And then he gets sent to the electric chair.
Oh, my.
And then his voodoo priestess mother sends his ashes to our family bakery. Then he gets baked into a gingerbread cookie that then terrorizes the entire family bakery.
No.
Wow. The Ginger Dead Man,
some
directed by
creative
the
creative writing.
Although,
oh, God. I think Netflix.
James,
really?
In fact, we've got a clip from that right now.
Oh,
no, yay. This is
yeah, oh, there's a sequel, too. They're working on a third one.
What? So. Are you going to be in the sequel?
No.
Wow.
You're done?
I'm done now, but Ginger Dead Man.
But you can see these people, ladies and gentlemen,
right,
in person in Beauty and the Beast, the Christmas Rose at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium, and it plays through December 24th. And make sure that you take your children to this because it's an awesome show at a very beautiful venue, and tickets are so well priced. And to get tickets, Andrew?
You can go ahead and you can call the Pasadena Civic Auditorium, which is located at 300 East Green Street, Pasadena, California, 91101. Or you can obviously go online and find their website at beautyandthebeastpanto.com or call 1-800-982-2787.
Absolutely. Obviously, we can't thank stuff. You guys enough for being
thank
here today, especially on
us.
A show day. We appreciate
oh,
it
no,
so much.
That's great.
It. You guys have obviously done such a great job with this show and with so many other things. Will you come back and visit us sometime soon?
You betcha.
Absolutely.
Always. Open invitation.
All right. I'll see you next week.
All right.
Sweet. That means we don't have to do a booking for right before the new year. That's a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, big hand for our guest.
Yeah, there you go.
Michael, always a pleasure to sit across from you.
Thank
for a
you.
Bit.
I feel the same way about you, Andrew. And where will I see you next?
Oh, I'll be on the radio.
Okay. Mm.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.